Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, as we're continuing to go through the book of James, and we're getting close to the end of the book of James. I won't promise we'll make it through tonight, but if not tonight, we should be done by next Sunday evening. I never know how long it's going to take to get through some of this stuff. And every once in a while people go, "Well, you got notes." So I got notes, but sometimes God interjects some stuff along the way, and so you gotta go where He leads. And so who knows? So James chapter 5 and verse 10, we're going to look at the prophets who endured through suffering. The prophets that endured through suffering. So James chapter 5 and verse 10 says, the Word of God says in verse 10, "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful that we have Your Word that we can look into and we can study, we can meditate upon, we can hear the preaching of the Word of God, we can come together. And Father, I pray that as Your Word speaks to each one of us tonight, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts personally, Father, that we'd see some things and truths in Your Word that we can apply to our lives. Father, that there'd be stuff, some truths that would come so alive to us that we just couldn't wait to go out and share it with others. And Father, there's a whole world of people that are out there, and many of them have never even heard the gospel message even one time. So I pray, Father, that we'd be faithful in sharing. And Father, as we see this as the suffering of the saints, I pray, Father, that we won't think it's some oddity if we suffer, because Your Word tells us we're going to. So we just ask Your blessing on this time, and we'll not fail to give You all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the patriarch Job. Job was mentioned this morning, but Job, who endured through suffering. Job went through a lot. Job went through an awful lot, but he continued to follow God. I would say Job, yes, he questioned God. People say, "Well, you questioned God." He questioned God, yes. We can question God. We can ask Him. It's not wrong to question Him on what's going on, as long as we're not going to let our questions torpedo our faith. Job's faith stayed right there with God. And Job, I don't know anyone who suffered like Job suffered. I don't know anyone. Now, there's a lot of people who have lost a lot of things, but I don't know anybody who suffered as much loss as Job suffered. And yet, when you see what happened, God blessed Job. In the end, if you look at the end of that story, God doubled what Job lost. He gave him double. You got to say, "Wow, that's pretty amazing." I'm wondering if Job's friends got the picture after God blessed him with twice of what he had, because they were convinced that Job had some terrible, terrible sin that he was hiding from everybody. And that was not the case. But we've seen the patience of Job. He endured by trusting God. Isn't it amazing? We have very little patience most of the time. Very little patience. How do I know that? Get behind the wheel of a car and go out and watch people. Patience is not something that is running rampant on the roadways today. It's just not there. And you could tell Friday, as the snow's coming down, people had no patience. They were still driving like there was no tomorrow. It's like, I don't get it. I live in an area where there's people that they get on that highway and they'll do 10 to 15 miles an hour below the speed limit. But the snow comes out and all of a sudden they're doing 10 to 15 miles above the speed limit. It's like crazy. I don't get it. I don't know what it is about snow that automatically people see snow and they think they've got to hit the pedal to the metal. But Job has had patience because he trusted God. We have very few people, I would say, and I'm talking about, you've got 7 billion people in the world, roughly. When I talk few, we're still talking probably in the millions, that truly are trusting God throughout their entire life. Because we have this tendency, we say we trust God, and then the hiccup comes, and it's like we're doing everything we can to fix it without trusting God to get us through it. It's amazing. We need to trust God. I have to say, I had a conversation with my sister this last week, and I said, you know, I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm going to continue to trust God. Because that's what we need to do. That's what He expects us to do, is to just trust Him. And we need to do that. Verse 11a says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. We've seen the patience of Job. If you haven't studied that book, and maybe that's somewhere that God will take us, but I was blessed to be able to go through the book of Job with my mother before she died. That was the last book that I read to her before she died. And it was amazing, because I asked her, which book do you want? She's on her deathbed and she wants Job. I guess she needed some cheering up, right? Things aren't quite as bad as what Job went through, so I can make it through this, right? But that's what she wanted. If you haven't spent time in that book, I encourage you to spend time in that book, because Job had patience. He had patience. And then you've seen the plan of God. He brought good out of suffering. As I said, He doubled what Job had. Good came out of it. Now people say, how could good come out? He lost all his children. He lost all his cattle. He lost all his wealth. He lost his house. The only thing that God left him with really was his wife, because even his health was touched. And of course, as we heard this morning also, she said, curse God and die. That was her answer to what was going on. And Job said, no, we're not going to curse God. He's going to continue to follow God. Because he understood, you know, we have a tendency to trust God when things are going well. It's easy to trust God when things are going well, right? The bank account's full, food in the fridge, clothes on your back, right? I mean, everything is looking good. We can trust God then. But as some of us know, lose your job. Your income's gone. What do you do then? My answer is you trust God. You still trust Him. When He says in His Word, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, He also says, I will supply thy needs. And particularly, He says, with food and raiment, therewith to be content. Food and raiment. Sounds like that's our needs. We have this idea that our needs far exceed what they really are. But I have to tell you, even in the slim times, God's always provided. He's always taken care of us. Job even saw that God still took care of him, right? I like the fact that every time Satan wanted to touch Job's life, whether it be his health or whatever, the cattle, he had to go to God and ask permission. Isn't it great that Satan has to ask permission before he touches us? People go, well, God should just say no, right? No, God's testing us. Where's our faith? I have to tell you, there's nowhere in this book that it says our whole life is going to be easy street. It's not in there. It might be preached by some heretics, but it's not preached by those who know the book, because it's not in there. It says that we are going to have trials, we are going to have testings, we're going to have persecution, we're going to have all of that. But we can still trust God. And through it, I have to tell you, God will bless through it. Part B of James 5:11 says, "And have seen the end of the Lord." You have seen the person of God. He displayed His infinite compassion and tender mercy. Through the whole thing with Job, God was there. God's there with you. If you're a child of God, He's with you everywhere you go. He knows everything that's going on in your life. The book says He knows the hairs on your head. I'm thinking that keeps Him busy, right? Okay, I lost 5 today, so that's minus 5, but I gained 3. So that, I mean, can you imagine Him keeping track of all that? But He knows. I think it's an example of what He knows about our lives. Every minute detail. And so we can understand that He knows what we're going through. He understands what we're going through. And He cares for us. And He has compassion on us. I don't know about you, but I don't know how we'd get by without His mercy. 5:11c says that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Tender mercy. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Then two, we can maintain integrity by dependence upon truth. We live in a society today where truth has been thrown out. I have to tell you, it was interesting watching, have to be careful how I word this, watching some of what's going on in the time in which we live leading up to a week from Tuesday. How's that for being politically correct? And it was interesting because one of the things that came out was, you said this, and the answer was, I never said that. Well, I thought it was interesting because these eyes and these ears watched him as he said it. And I thought, where's truth? I'll tell you where you'll find truth. In this book. You're not going to find it in a politician. First of all, you're not going to find it in man, because this book says man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It also tells us, let God be true and every man a liar. So you're not going to find truth in mankind if that's where you're looking for it. You're going to find it with God. And it's interesting, you can lie through your teeth and people will believe it, but you give them the truth and they reject it. It's amazing to me. And people will flock to the lies but reject the truth. And yet, we need to have dependence upon truth. Thank God we have the truth. Thank God we have the truth. It's interesting. I like watching people. Body language tells a lot. People go, well, I didn't know you were supposed to watch. Yes. It's amazing what you learn when you go through all these training things that I've gone through. You watch people's body language. You can tell by the way some people react with their body language whether or not they're lying to you or not. It's kind of interesting. So I like to watch people. I like to know. So I watch. And I observe. And I take it in. You might be lying to me, and you might get that past me. It's possible to lie to me and get it past me. I wouldn't bank on it, because I'm getting pretty good at watching. That's why I sit on the professional standards, where I sit in those hearings, and I watch people's body language, and I can kind of tell if they're telling the truth or they're not. And sometimes it's interesting, because they're half-truths, which is still a lie, by the way. And so, it's interesting to watch people. Moving on to verse 12 of James 5, it says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." This passage is an appeal to honesty. We should be honest with everybody. Even when we don't think they're going to like what we have to say, you still need to be honest to them. And some people say, well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Still be honest with them. You know, by the way, this book also says everything we do is supposed to be done in love. So be careful how you do that. But it forbids us to swear, not because oaths are evil, but because they imply that honesty is only expected when such oaths are given. Honesty should be expected all the time. As I said earlier, we are living in a day and age where honesty has been thrown out. I like the fact that when you become a realtor, which means you belong to the National Association of Realtors, you have to abide by the Code of Ethics. The Code of Ethics has been around for over 100 years. It's interesting. And in it, there's some things that say, one of them is you will treat all people honestly. Doesn't say I will only treat my client honestly. It says all people. If I abide to that, then I'm held to it. It's interesting. That's why I'm on that professional standards committee, because there are some people that are supposed to abide by it, but they don't. And so then they come before a hearing panel and we decide whether or not they violated or not. But it's interesting how a lot of times that's one of the reasons that we're sitting in a hearing, is because somebody didn't treat somebody honestly. And it's amazing how the person who's offended, it's like they can't believe that people weren't honest. It happens all the time, folks. People will treat people dishonestly for their own personal gain. Jesus taught that our yea should be yea and our nay should be nay, even when we do not promise or swear or give an oath. Have you ever served on jury duty? I have. It's interesting. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and you put your hand on a Bible. And you say, I do. And then they get into the witness box and they lie through their teeth. It's like, wait a minute, you just swore that you would tell the truth. Well, we shouldn't have to swear to tell the truth. It should be automatically expected. But it's become so much the oddity that now we have to have people swear that they'll tell the truth even though we know they're going to lie anyway. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Our word should be our bond. I like working with the elderly people out there, people that are in their 80s and later, because they were used to doing real estate contracts with a handshake. In fact, I got one that's for sale right now, and he said, I bought this land by going to the guy. We discussed what we were going to do. We shook on it, and that's what happened. He was appalled at the fact that when he got an offer on his property, that it was like 30 pages long. He said, what do we need all this for? I said, this is the way it's done today. Doesn't make any sense, but this is, you know why? Because people will not hold to their truth, to their word. It's amazing. It's amazing. In 1994, it used to be a one legal size page. I remember when it went to three legal size pages, then it went to five letter size pages, and now it's as many as 30 pages. For a standard, I'm just talking a standard contract. There are, I mean, you could get, you know, 40 pages in a contract and still probably not exceed how many you could have. We have over 100 different forms now, so multiple pages in most of them. But it's because people won't hold true to their word. Just not the way it is. I can't tell you how many times people said, okay, scour the contract and find me an out. Well, there's plenty of them in there if you want to exercise one, but let's look. There does come a point in time when you can't get out with an out that's legal, and so then there's risk. But, you know, some people, they just want out. So they'll look for anything they can to get out because they weren't serious about buying or they weren't serious about selling. And they just thought their word didn't matter. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 through 37, it says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." He's just saying, be honest, be truthful. It's not difficult. In fact, I used to say all the time, God gave me such a small brain that it's easier for me to remember the truth because the lies are so hard because they change all the time, right? Depending on who's telling them and who's... So if you just remember the truth, it's easy because it doesn't change. It's like, did you say this? No, I never said it. Well, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. And they'll argue back and forth. Would you like us to play the video for you? Oh, you've got a video of that? Yes. Isn't it interesting technology? We can save all this stuff now. And so they can go back. But why lie about it? If you said it, be truthful. Why try to hide it? Well, as I said this morning, politicians will tell you whatever they want you to hear so they can be reelected. It doesn't matter if it's truth or fiction. They'll tell you whatever they want to get the election. Statesmen, on the other hand, are looking at whatever is going to be beneficial for the future of the country. We need more statesmen. Then we can find help and healing through dependence upon prayer. Prayer. We did a big study on prayer. I know Brother Anchor did studies on prayer. And you can't get too much prayer. You can't spend too much time in prayer. There's no such thing. But when we are afflicted, we are to pray. And when we are merry, we are to praise. Pray, pray, pray. Thus we are turning to God in all of our good and bad times, drawing continually near to Him. It doesn't matter if it's good times or bad times. Draw closer to God. That's been my prayer since I got here, is that God would increase our faith, that we would draw closer to Him. That's what we need. People say, well, yeah, but to increase our faith, it usually comes by... Some of us know what it comes by. We're going to have some testing. We're going to have some trials. But aren't those good things if our faith is increased? I think it is. I'd say wholeheartedly, yes. If our faith is increased, it's worth it. And one day, it's not going to be faith, it's going to be sight. We're going to be standing face to face with Him, right? It's going to be sight. But right now, while we're here, it's by faith. And we have to have faith in Him. If we don't, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it like we could make it, I should say. Because we could make it a whole lot easier than we will if we don't have faith. You know, no matter what's going on, if we have faith in God and we totally trust Him, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. We can still have joy. We can still have peace. Doesn't matter what it is. People ask me, my son-in-law broke his back, my father-in-law's got bladder cancer. All this is going on at the same time. And they said, how are you holding up with all this? I said, I'm trusting God. I can't fix the broken back. I can't fix the bladder cancer, but I can pray about it. And I can trust God to take care of it. So it's okay. I was talking to somebody the other day. I made my flight arrangements to go to Texas in December. And you're getting on a plane? I said, I've already been on one this year. In fact, I went on one plane. I got on another plane to come back. I'm going to go on another plane. Then I'm going to leave that plane and get on another one. And then I'm going to get on that another one and get back. And then I'm going to take another one to get back here again. And I'm not going to worry about it, not one little bit. Why? I'm trusting God. It's a novel concept. You know, it's something that we need to try more often. We just need to trust Him. I had one the other day ask me, are you guys having church services? I said, we've been having church services. Are we not supposed to? We've got a constitution that says we should, and I've got a God who says we're supposed to. So, yeah, we are. Wow. How's that going? Like it always has? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too trusting. I don't know. But we need to trust God. That's what it's about. And be honest. And pray. It's amazing what you can get done with prayer. We're to be turning to God in all of our good and bad times, drawing continually near to Him. I don't care if it's good times or bad. In bad times, we want to draw near to God because we want Him to fix it. In good times, we don't think we need Him. That's where we make a huge mistake. We need to turn to Him in good times and in bad. Because if you're not going through a trial right now, hold on. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it's coming. It's just what life is. But God's there for us. Who is called to pray for the sick? I was told one time that's the pastor's job. Really? I don't mind doing it. In fact, I love it when people tell me what's going on in their life and how to pray. I'm going to pick on Brother Terry and Miss Becky. She keeps me up to date. She sends me text messages. We don't have to spend a lot of time on the phone, but I still know what's going on with him and I know how to pray. That's a great thing. I get text messages from several people on stuff to pray for. I like that. It tells me how to pray specifically. I don't have a problem with that. Is the pastor the only one that's supposed to pray? No. I know for a fact you people who are texting me to pray are also praying. And you need to be. But we all need to be praying, and not just the pastors, not just the spiritual leadership of the church, but everybody. I still wonder why the faith healers are not praying that everybody's healed, right? I mean, obviously they're not. Otherwise, everybody would be healed, right? They're faith healers, aren't they? But we're all supposed to pray for the sick. In James 5:14a, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. I don't have a problem with praying over people. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have gone to the hospital at what I consider an ungodly time of the morning and sit with people and pray before they go in and have surgery or some procedure done or whatever, because we need to do those things. Can't do it now because COVID, Do you know my pastor get out of jail free card doesn't work at the hospitals right now? They don't let me in. Why? Because they're allowed one visitor, and it's not the pastor. Family is going to be there before I am. So it's the way it is. But I can pray at home. I like it when people tell me, I've got this going on this time, this day. I know exactly when to pray. Because I know when they're going to have the procedure or the surgery or whatever is being done. And so I can pray. Can't be there, but I can pray. And we need to do that. Okay, what is meant by anointing the sick with oil? In James 5:14b, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, this does not refer to the Roman Catholic extreme unction, the last rites, as they say, as taught by some. Healing, not death, is what's in view here. We're praying for healing. They're sick. They need to be healed, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Does not refer to some supernatural power in the oil. Healing is accomplished by the power of God. Who is the great physician? That's who we're praying to. Not magical powers in some oil, but God. You know, I prayed for Brother Dirk, and I prayed for total healing. I was praying for total healing before he ever went to the hospital for the surgery. I know people who have been totally healed before they got there. I know people who have had cancer, in fact, stage 4 cancer, which is supposed to be, you know, you're done. Stage 4 cancer, and I've prayed for total healing, and they go in to have surgery, and they don't need it. Not because I prayed, but because God healed them. Does that mean I don't need to pray? No, I still need to pray. But my prayer didn't heal them, God did. People say, well, did God hear your prayer? I believe God hears my prayers. This book says he does. So I believe he hears my prayers and he answers them. So thank God he healed. Miss Reynolds is going back now. I don't know that those, I saw them on the x-ray. I don't think all that could just dissolve and be gone without surgery, but I've been praying for total healing for her, that this thing would heal and she might not have to go in and have surgery again. If it doesn't happen, is God still God? Yes. I've been praying for quick healing since she had the last one. So far it hasn't. So no, just because I pray doesn't mean it's going to be answered in the way I want it done. But God's still going to be God, and he's still going to answer the prayer in his way, in his time. So we have to understand, it's not magical powers in certain things. It's God. People want to give credit to all kinds of people. And thank God for doctors and nurses and our first responders and all that. I thank God for them. In fact, every time I watch one of those shows where there's a first responder out there, I like watching those things that are real life stuff, but I don't like watching the one parts, you know. I get pretty good at this because I don't want to see the red stuff, you know, and I don't want to see those needles, and I don't want to see that stuff. But I like the fact that those people put themselves out there and put their lives on the line to save other people. And thank God for them. You know, we live in a day and age where all police officers are rotten and disgusting and we need to get rid of them. No, thank God for them. Do we have some bad apples out there? Well, yeah. Do we have bad apples in every profession? Yeah. Doesn't mean everybody's bad. So pray for them. Pray for them. I thank God for them. But the power in the healing comes from God. And thank God he's given doctors and nurses and you even have nurse practitioners and stuff like that. Now, all of them knowledge and discernment on how to treat some of this stuff. Thank God for that. But it's because God gave them those abilities. You know, I could not do what Mrs. Ramirez does. She can attest, I can't do what she does. It just would not work. So thank God for her that she's there. I thank God she's been here when I've been injured a couple times. Take care of this, I don't want to see. You know? But thank God for that. Thank God for the people who are out there that are doing those things. But it's because God gave them the ability. I didn't get that ability. I'm okay with that. To literally purify wounds and promote natural physical healing, olive oil had natural medicinal purposes. The Good Samaritan anointed the afflicted traveler's wounds with oil in Luke 10:34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he took care of him. He did what he needed to do, and we're out of time. All right, we'll end there tonight, and we'll pick up with that one next time.